listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
It is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell here on SOV, and we will take you all the way up until 7 p.m. Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio. Bunch of news out there, a bunch of stuff in the works. We got NBA, we got NFL, and we've also got boxing. Brad Powers, you are a college football, you are an college basketball expert. Steve Fezzik, you are an NBA, also an NFL expert. But when the news is big enough and the fight is big enough, it gets everybody to talking. And right now, after trading barbs on social media over the past couple of days, Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao 2 is the topic of discussion there in Vegas.
Yeah, and Jonas, we've got some odds on this. And believe it or not, despite all the the back and forth on social media between Pacquiao and Mayweather, Mayweather's, as far as being, you know, Manny Pacquiao's next opponent, not the favorite. So odds came out a couple days ago. Odds to be Manny Pacquiao's next opponent. These are from Bet Online. Errol Spence Jr., not Floyd Mayweather, the favorite to fight Pacquiao next. Right around a minus 150 favorite, you got to bet $150 to win 100. Then, not Mayweather, Amir Khan, right around 3-1. Sean Porter, also right around 3-1. And a couple days ago, you could have gotten Floyd Mayweather, odds to be Pacquiao's next opponent, 20-1. However, after the little back and forth last night on Instagram and Twitter, Floyd Mayweather's odds to be Pacquiao's next opponent have gone from 20-1, Jonas, down to 4-1, but still three guys ahead of Mayweather as far as fighting Pacquiao next.
All right, so Fez, what are we doing with this? Are we jumping all over this already? Are we gonna dive right into this? Or are you gonna wait until you see something specifically before you take advantage of the market and screw everybody over?
All I do is provide winning advice, Jonas. I do not screw anyone over. No, I wish it was that easy. Let me emphasize, winning is not easy, especially when insider information is so important. If you're going to bet this, who is Pacquiao going to fight? You really need the inside information. So I would argue it's certainly not bettable. What is bettable, however, is should Pacquiao go ahead and fight Mayweather, what will the odds be? And Brad, we've got some numbers on that, right?
Yeah, a couple different books actually put these odds up already. If there's going to be a Mayweather-Pacquiao rematch, Jonas, right now Mayweather, the clear favorite, minus 200. Got to bet $2 to win a dollar. And that put, as far as a percent chance, Fez, right around 65% chance as far as Mayweather being a minus 200 favorite.
And what was interesting to me is, let's go back in time here. Let's go back to April 2015 when these two fought, and Mayweather was a minus 225 favorite. So now, 4 years later, what the marketplace is saying is that the distance or the difference between these two fighters, not quite as great. Pacquiao has a better chance.
And that makes sense, Jonas, because what in the heck has Floyd Mayweather done in the last 4 years? He's fought Conor McGregor. And really, I thought he underperformed in that fight. I mean, guys in town, Fez, correct me if I'm wrong, thought that was one of the easiest bets in the history of Las Vegas as far as betting on Floyd Mayweather against McGregor. One of the, I would say, not easiest, I shouldn't say that, but as far as one of the cheapest prices to bet a winning ticket, correct?
And I'll be honest with you, sorry to interrupt, Fez, but I'll be honest with you, just watching the fight, I gave McGregor legitimately four rounds. I'm not kidding. And that's coming from a Floyd Mayweather who shut out Juan Manuel Marquez, who's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. He's one of the great fighters in this era, and he's wiped out virtually everybody and shut them down, and I thought McGregor got four rounds off him.
Yeah, and what was interesting is I attended a party with that fight going on. And
I was there.
And there was wise guys, you know, Brad, throughout the city. And I've never seen so many unhappy people at a party after the first couple rounds of that fight who could not believe the tens of thousands of dollars they were going to lose on a sure bet on Mayweather when he went down after the first couple rounds.
Jonas, you could have heard a pin drop at that party. These are guys that have some of the biggest bets of their life. And they're on Mayweather because they thought it was so cheap. All the people from Ireland came in and were betting on McGregor. They want to take the underdog. And Mayweather's price was so cheap throughout that day. But in the first couple of rounds, there was some of the most nervous people I've ever seen, Fez.
We had jelly in the belly. We were real scared.
Can I tell you a conspiracy theory? I said it after the fight was over. I think Mayweather carried him a little bit. Not all the way, but I think Mayweather carried him a little bit because I think Mayweather had the over on rounds. I said it after the fight. I said it. If you just watch the fight and you watch how he was taking over, and Floyd Mayweather even acknowledged that he placed a wager on himself, a big time wager on himself, not so much to win, but there was some stuff out there. And if I remember correctly, the over under on rounds was at 8.5, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Mayweather bet on himself to take the over in rounds. That's what I think.
I wouldn't doubt it. Mayweather's known.
Why wouldn't you?
To have a better two on not just boxing, but a lot of sports, Fez.
And really, that was the only concern of the guys who were betting on it. Let's face it, we got a guy that's 49-0 fighting other boxers, and now he's fighting an MMA guy. It's almost like the world's chess champion is playing the world's backgammon champion at chess. I like the chess player, and he was only minus 450. Just as long as that fight was on the up and up, there was just no logical way that Mayweather should lose that fight, and of course he did not.
And I thought Doug Gottlieb said it best after the Pacquiao fight on Saturday. Doug Gottlieb said, people that say they're not going to pay to watch Mayweather-Pacquiao 2 are the same people that say they'll never fly an airline again. Get out of here.
Yeah, pretty much.
You absolutely will watch it. You got nothing else going on, or you'll be up to speed on everything, or you go to a bar where they charge $5 and it's a 2-drink minimum. You're going to watch. Everybody's going to watch. And if it happens, you know, we will dive into that at that point here. Again, straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. All right. It is a brand new era of basketball. That brand new era of basketball, guys, belongs to the LA Clippers. The introductory press conference for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George was earlier today in Los Angeles. And here was Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, just a very, very subtle tone, not overly excited, talking about the new arrivals.
I'm pumped to say hello as Clippers to Paul and Kawhi. Come on! Come on! Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're psyched as I am, get up! We got two guys who I am so excited to have. Two guys who are tough. You watch them play, they're tough. I love the toughness. Two guys who every year have gotten better. Every year. Look, I'm inspired by that. Work, off season, off court, work.
So there was Steve Ballmer. He sounds like somebody who's hooked up 24 hours a day to a tasing system, and when you just press the button, it just gives him a jolt. Like he is all fired up. But as they should be, and Brad, they should be, because this is historic. What the Clippers are going into next season in the NBA.
Yeah, Jonas, I didn't know if I was listening to Steve Ballmer or a promo to WrestleMania 5 between Macho Man and Hulk Hogan. But this is historical, at least for the Clippers, for the first time ever. And these odds go back to the mid-80s as far as future odds. Who will win the NBA title for the first time in their organization's history? The Clippers are your preseason favorite to win the NBA title. Right around, if you shop around books, 4-1. Bet a dollar, win $4. If you think of Clippers with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, bring home the first title for the Clippers, Fez.
And how exciting is it with the Lakers, the number two choice at 5-1? David Stern was once asked, if you had your druthers, who would you see in the NBA Finals? He responded, I'd like to see the Lakers playing the Lakers. How about the Lakers against the Clippers?
Western Conference Finals. Listen, there's an excitement out here. There's also a little bit of bitterness from Laker fans. I feel like, quote unquote, they got played. But that being said, I still think it's going to be a fun watch all throughout the course of the season. Let's not pretend like the Lakers came up short. They've still got Anthony Davis, and they've still got LeBron James. So to see those duos pair up against each other, and they're in the same building, I think is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, no question about it. And considering what the LA basketball scene's been the last five,
yes,
6 years,
no
historically
kidding.
Poor for the Lakers, I think it's a win-win for the NBA, no question. And I thought it would have been good for us on talk radio, talking an all-time super team had Kawhi went to the Lakers. But I think from obviously a parity aspect, I think the league is much better having a bunch of duos instead of having one super team with three all-stars.
Well, yeah, and honestly, like I said this past weekend, when people are talking about, you know, the international teams and the U.S. basketball team and who's going to be an invite and who's going to play, and like, you know what this super team era has done in the NBA? It's make me not care about these international teams, these USA basketball teams. Back in the day when the Dream Team got together, Larry Bird teaming with Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing and all these great players, it was awesome to see all those guys on the same floor together and on the same team. Well, that's today's NBA. So, like, what's the incentive to want to watch international basketball when you get super teams in the NBA? I like the idea of them spreading it out a little bit. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So, all right, it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. Up next here on Fox Sports Radio, there is a situation in the NFL involving one of the best players in the NFL, and it could get ugly in a hurry. Find out how next on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik here on Straight Out of Vegas. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get to a situation in the NFL that it's funny now, but it could turn a little bit ugly here coming up very, very quickly. So we'll have that for you here a couple of minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. Right now, though, as we do every single day, and when RJ is not in, we have our fill-in weatherman. He is right now standing. He was at Whiskey Pete's. He's now taken a helicopter all the way over to the Rio, and his name is Brad Powers for the latest weather from Vegas. Brad?
Appreciate that, Jonas. Yes, each and every day we love bringing the fun of Vegas to you guys each and every day. And right now, temperature on the strip, 97 degrees, and the neon actually, Jonas, is dripping today. Actually rained here for the first time in about 6 weeks.
Nice. We got a little bit of rain in Southern California yesterday as well, too. And then it was just humid, like the kind of southern humidity to where you need to shower twice in 10 minutes. It's gross. But, guys, there is a situation developing in the NFL. Now, I found it to be a little bit comical. I thought it was a little bit funny. But Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, he arrived to Jaguars camp earlier today, and he arrived in the back of a Brinks truck. Here's the audio.
Y'all know what time it is. This man covered so good, he finna have his own cell phone service. The man's so good, they finna give him his own jail called Jalen Tower, because these receivers are on 24-hour lockdown. If you check his pocket, he got 8 master locks in his pocket. They're on lockdown all season. The man, the myth, Jalen Ramsey.
Y'all know what it is.
Workman, yeah, that's him.
Y'all know what it is.
It's time to get this money.
All right. It is so cornball and so cheesy that I'm willing to accept it as funny. All right, because it's so over the top that I think even partway through was like, God, this is a really dumb idea. And there's some people out there that are very bothered by it. Well, he's just making a mockery. I mean, come on, man. Like, have a little bit of a sense of humor. It's okay. The guy showed up in a Brinks truck. I give him credit, Brad. At least he showed up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, compared to what we're hearing for Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell last year.
His own teammate, Yannick Ngakoue, didn't even show up. He wants a new contract. So at least Ramsey showed up. He's at practice. He's there.
Hey, we like it here at Straight Out of Vegas. It's all about styling and profiling, Fez.
And it's nice for a Jacksonville team that suffered through a 5-11 year with horrific quarterback play with Bortles and then Kessler to have its swagger back. I've never seen bad quarterback play impact a defense as much as Jacksonville's team last year.
And so the thought here, and this was, you know, in thinking about this as it happened, his agent has already told him, don't expect a contract extension this year. So Jalen Ramsey shows up this year. This is the fourth year of his rookie deal. And then they've already picked up the fifth year option. So they've really got control, Jacksonville does, the next 2 years. And then they could just place a franchise tag on him afterwards. So it's kind of a similar situation that Ezekiel Elliott is in. But Jalen Ramsey is one of the best at his position. So where do you guys have him stacked amongst cornerbacks in the NFL?
Well, Jonas, I'd like to say I've got like a top 10 list for each and every position in the NFL, but I don't have it for cornerbacks. He's certainly a top five. And, you know, surprisingly, though, that still only means he's worth about a half a point a game. People think, oh, you know, these guys are worth a touchdown. And as it turns out, any non-quarterback in the National Football League is worth less than 2 points to the point spread line.
And so here's where this conversation, I think we take the conversation moving forward with the Jacksonville Jaguars, because Jalen Ramsey, as Fez just mentioned, top five cornerback in the league, some would argue the best cornerback in the league, and that's fine. If you're in the top five, things are going okay. But if you're Jacksonville and you're going into this season, all we kept hearing about was, man, if Jacksonville just had a quarterback. Well, they went out and they paid for somebody like he's a quarterback. They got Nick Foles now. So, Brad, what do we think about the Jags as they head into this next season with Jalen Ramsey and others in need of a contract coming up here in the next couple of years?
Well, Vegas is optimistic on Jacksonville this year. And right now, season win total for Jacksonville has them right around 8 wins. And I think some of it has to do more with their division. I mean, you're competing in a division with a Tennessee team that seems to win 9 games every year. And then you got two quarterbacks, if they're healthy now, obviously in Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans and Andrew Luck at the Indianapolis Colts, two playoff caliber teams that met in the playoffs a year ago. So I think some of it, obviously, expectations, Jacksonville is going to be much improved, but it's tough to get them much higher than that, Fez, because of the division they're in.
Yeah, and if you look at last year's performance as well, it's difficult to project a 5-11 team to have a winning record. But Brad Powers, even though their season win number here in Vegas is only at 8, I actually project Jacksonville to win 9 games or more. And in fact, you and I, we've got a bet on this.
So listen to this. I hardly ever, and I mean hardly ever, get the best of Fez when it comes to the NFL. College football is different. I mean, it's not even fair. I don't even allow Fez to bet me unless, I don't know, he's just not feeling well that day. But a couple months ago, we bet Jacksonville's over-under 9, even though it's 8 right now. We bet 9 before the season win total came out. I have under 9 wins. Fez has over 9 wins, so I got the best of you there, but we'll see.
Yeah, I got a bad price, but I think I may well have a winning ticket.
Now, but remember this, Jonas. I think people forget, and they look back just 1 year. I mean, people have a short memory. I'll just go back a year and one game, that one game being the AFC Championship game a year and a half ago, where in the second half of that game, it's called live betting, in-game wagering, the Jacksonville Jaguars were favored over the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game to advance to the Super Bowl, Jonas.
Here's what I think it all comes down to, the quarterback. And so maybe this is just as simple as how much of an upgrade is Nick Foles at quarterback for the Jaguars? Do you guys have if I were to just throw that at you without doing a whole ton of research or a deep dive, or if you have a ranking, how much more of an upgrade is Nick Foles at that position for Jacksonville as they head into this year?
Yeah, so a 3-point upgrade at quarterback. I've got Foles as right in the middle, number 16 quarterback in the NFL. Blake Bortles, well, I had him right with Eli Manning at 31st in the league, so a huge upgrade at quarterback.
Is that maybe, though, a bit much consider. That feels like we're still thinking about Nick Foles, like the Nick Foles that made that run in the postseason and won a Super Bowl. If you go back and look at him a year ago, he wasn't that great in the playoffs. He turned the ball over a couple of times against Chicago. I think he turned the ball over a couple of times against New Orleans. One of those was a tip off the hands of Alshon Jeffrey late, but he wasn't the same guy. So how much of that is priced based on what we saw 2 years ago and not what we saw last year, the most recent version of Nick Foles?
Well, I'd make the case that there's two Nick Foles out there. There's the good Foles and the bad Foles. So anyone who saw him play at the end of 2017 when Wentz went down with the ACL said, this guy can't play a lick. And then, of course, they're the Super Bowl champions. And then he struggled to start last year and didn't play well in the regular season. I think he played fine in the playoffs. So I would say the variance on Foles is greater than almost any quarterback. There's a reason, Jonas, I haven't rated as an average quarterback. He could well be a lot better or a lot worse here in 2019.
Yeah. And Jonas, also, I mean, a really good, you know, sample size, a data point for Nick Foles. He also had a regular season when he threw 27 touchdowns and only two picks. And so we've seen not just the Super Bowl run, but also an entire regular season where he was a top five quarterback. I agree. I'm not afraid to disagree with Fez, but I think average sounds about right to me. I mean, when he's playing his absolute best, I think you can make a strong case he's a top 10 quarterback. And I think when he's playing his worst, you could say he's a bottom 8 quarterback.
So he's what you would describe him as streaky. He's one of those streaky quarterbacks that comes along that gets hot, and he's as hot as anybody, but he does have his pitfalls. So that being said, what are we talking about? A slight upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because we hear the same thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a streaky quarterback. When he gets hot, he's unbelievable. But when he doesn't, that's why I just wonder how much maybe Jacksonville, and who knows, maybe Vegas is overvaluing Jacksonville based on just Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl as opposed to what he's done for his whole career.
No, I wouldn't make that. I understand the comparison, but Fitzmagic is more the type of guy in a poker tournament that might have the chip lead after the first day because he just plays crazy and takes all these risks, but he never winds up winning these tournaments. And Foles is much, much better than Fitzmagic right
now. Well, it sounded like a good hot take, though. I mean, I might leave that in the oven for a little bit longer and then bring it up this weekend, you know. Fire that one away. Make sure people are still awake at night. All right, it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so we do something here on the show in which Steve Fezzik and Brad Powers will find something that they vehemently disagree with. And it's not just with each other. It's with experts out there. So we are going to get to that here coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. It is a huge disagreement between the pros and between the experts that feed you information on social media and on television and on radio. So that is coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik here on Straight Out of Vegas. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get to a situation in the NFL that it's funny now, but it could turn a little bit ugly here coming up very, very quickly. So we'll have that for you here a couple of minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. Right now, though, as we do every single day, and when RJ is not in, we have our fill-in weatherman. He is right now standing. He was at Whiskey Pete's. He's now taken a helicopter all the way over to the Rio, and his name is Brad Powers for the latest weather from Vegas. Brad?
Appreciate that, Jonas. Yes, each and every day we love bringing the fun of Vegas to you guys each and every day. And right now, temperature on the strip, 97 degrees, and the neon actually, Jonas, is dripping today. Actually rained here for the first time in about 6 weeks.
Nice. We got a little bit of rain in Southern California yesterday as well, too. And then it was just humid, like the kind of southern humidity to where you need to shower twice in 10 minutes. It's gross. But, guys, there is a situation developing in the NFL. Now, I found it to be a little bit comical. I thought it was a little bit funny. But Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, he arrived to Jaguars camp earlier today, and he arrived in the back of a Brinks truck. Here's the audio.
Y'all know what time it is. This man covered so good, he's been having his own cell phone service.
The man's so good, they better give him his own jail. Called Jalen Towers. Because these receivers are on 24-hour lockdown. If you check his pocket, he got 8 master locks in his pocket. They're on lockdown all season. The man, the myth, Jalen Ramsey.
Workman, yeah, that's him. Just trying to get this money.
All right, it is so cornball and so cheesy that I'm willing to accept it as funny. All right, because it's so over the top that I think he even partway through was like, "God, this is a really dumb idea." And there's some people out there that are very bothered by it. Well, he's just making a mockery. I mean, come on, man. Like, have a little bit of a sense of humor. It's okay. The guy showed up in a Brinks truck. I give him credit, Brad. At least he showed up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, compared to what we're hearing for Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell last year,
His own teammate, Yannick Ngakoue, didn't even show up. He wants a new contract. So at least Ramsey showed up. He's at practice. He's there.
Hey, we like it here at Straight Outta Vegas. It's all about styling and profiling, Fez.
And it's nice for a Jacksonville team that suffered through a 5-11 year with horrific quarterback play with Bortles and then Kessler to have its swagger back. I've never seen bad quarterback play impact a defense as much as Jacksonville's team last year.
And so the thought here, and this was, you know, in thinking about this as it happened, his agent has already told him, don't expect a contract extension this year. So Jalen Ramsey shows up this year. This is the fourth year of his rookie deal. And then they've already picked up the fifth year option. So they've really got control, Jacksonville does, the next 2 years. And then they could just place a franchise tag on him afterwards. So it's kind of a similar situation that Ezekiel Elliott is in. But Jalen Ramsey is one of the best at his position. So where do you guys have him stacked amongst cornerbacks in the NFL?
Well, Jonas, I'd like to say I've got like a top 10 list for each and every position in the NFL, but I don't have it for cornerbacks. He's certainly a top 5. And, you know, surprisingly, though, that still only means he's worth about a half a point a game. People think, oh, you know, these guys are worth a touchdown. And as it turns out, any non-quarterback in the National Football League is worth less than 2 points to the point spread line.
And so here's where this conversation, I think we take the conversation moving forward with the Jacksonville Jaguars, because Jalen Ramsey, as Fez just mentioned, top 5 cornerback in the league, some would argue the best cornerback in the league, and that's fine. If you're in the top 5, things are going okay. But if you're Jacksonville and you're going into this season, all we kept hearing about was, man, if Jacksonville just had a quarterback. Well, they went out and they paid for somebody like he's a quarterback. They got Nick Foles now. So, Brad, what do we think about the Jags as they head into this next season with Jalen Ramsey and others in need of a contract coming up here in the next couple of years?
Well, Vegas is optimistic on Jacksonville this year. And right now, season win total for Jacksonville has them right around 8 wins. And I think some of it has to do more with their division. I mean, you're competing in a division with a Tennessee team that seems to win 9 games every year. And then you got 2 quarterbacks, if they're healthy now, obviously in Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans and Andrew Luck at the Indianapolis Colts, 2 playoff caliber teams that met in the playoffs a year ago. So I think some of it, obviously, expectations, Jacksonville is going to be much improved, but it's tough to get them much higher than that, Fez, because of the division they're in.
Yeah, and if you look at last year's performance as well, it's difficult to project a 5-11 team to have a winning record. But Brad Powers, even though their season win number here in Vegas is only at 8, I actually project Jacksonville to win 9 games or more. And in fact, you and I, we've got a bet on this.
So listen to this. I hardly ever, and I mean hardly ever, get the best of Fez when it comes to the NFL. College football is different. I mean, it's not even fair. I don't even allow Fez to bet me unless, I don't know, he's just not feeling well that day. But a couple months ago, we bet Jacksonville's over-under 9, even though it's 8 right now. We bet 9 before the season win total came out. I have under 9 wins. Fez has over 9 wins, so I got the best of you there, but we'll see.
Yeah, I got a bad price, but I think I may well have a winning ticket.
Now, but remember this, Jonas. I think people forget, and they look back just 1 year. I mean, people have a short memory. I'll just go back a year and 1 game, that 1 game being the AFC Championship game a year and a half ago, where in the second half of that game, it's called live betting, in-game wagering, the Jacksonville Jaguars were favored favored over the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game to advance to the Super Bowl, Jonas?
Here's the what I think it all comes down to, the quarterback. And so maybe this is just as simple as how much of an upgrade is Nick Foles at quarterback for the Jaguars? Do you guys have a, if I were to just throw that at you without doing a whole ton of research or a deep dive, or if you have a ranking, how much more of an upgrade is Nick Foles at that position for Jacksonville as they head into this year?
Yeah, so a three-point upgrade at quarterback. I've got Foles as right in the middle, number 16 quarterback in the NFL. Blake Bortles, well, I had him right with Eli Manning at 31st in the league, so a huge upgrade at quarterback.
Is that maybe, though, a bit much? That feels like we're still thinking about Nick Foles, like the Nick Foles that made that run in the postseason and won a Super Bowl. If you go back and look at him a year ago, he wasn't that great in the playoffs. He turned the ball over a couple of times against Chicago. I think he turned the ball over a couple of times against New Orleans. One of those was a tip off the hands of Alshon Jeffrey late, but he wasn't the same guy. So how much of that is priced based on what we saw 2 years ago and not what we saw last year, the most recent version of Nick Foles?
Well, I'd make the case that there's two Nick Foles out there. There's the good Foles and the bad Foles. So anyone who saw him play at the end of 2017 when Wentz went down with the ACL said, this guy can't play a lick. And then, of course, they're the Super Bowl champions. And then he struggled to start last year and didn't play well in the regular season. I think he played fine in the playoffs. So I would say the variance on Foles is greater than almost any quarterback. There's a reason, Jonas, I am rated as an average quarterback. He could well be a lot better or a lot worse here in 2019.
Yeah. And Jonas, also, I mean, a really good, you know, sample size, a data point for Nick Foles. He also had a regular season when he threw 27 touchdowns and only two picks. And so we've seen not just the Super Bowl run, but also an entire regular season where he was a top five quarterback. I agree. I'm not afraid to disagree with Fez, but I think average sounds about right to me. I mean, when he's playing his absolute best, I think you can make a strong case he's a top 10 quarterback. And I think when he's playing his worst, you could say he's a bottom 8 quarterback.
So he's what you would describe him as streaky. He's one of those streaky quarterbacks that comes along that gets hot, and he's as hot as anybody, but he does have his pitfalls. So that being said, what are we talking about? A slight upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because we hear the same thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a streaky quarterback. When he gets hot, he's unbelievable. But when he doesn't, that's why I just wonder how much maybe Jacksonville, and who knows, maybe Vegas is overvaluing Jacksonville based on just Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl as opposed to what he's done for his whole career.
No, I wouldn't make that. I understand the comparison, but Fitzmagic is more the type of guy in a poker tournament that might have the chip lead after the first day because he just plays crazy and takes all these risks, but he never winds up winning these tournaments. And Foles is much, much better than Fitzmagic right now.
Well, I sound like a good hot take, though. I mean, I might leave that in the oven for a little bit longer and then bring it up this weekend, you know. Fire that one away. Make sure people are still awake at night. All right, it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so we do something here on the show in which Steve Fezzik and Brad Powers will find something that they vehemently disagree with. And it's not just with each other. It's with experts out there. So we are going to get to that here coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. It is a huge disagreement between the pros and between the experts that feed you information on social media and on television and on radio. So that is coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it is Dan Beyer.
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were introduced as members of the Clippers today. First, we hear from Kawhi, who talked about why he chose to come back home to L.A.
It means a lot to me. The Clippers were probably one of the first NBA games I came to, just to be able to, you know, for my friends and family to, you know, drive to a game and watch me play and see them out there and able to just enjoy the time here is going to be great.
Now, Paul George, who's from Palmdale, talked about the battle for LA now between the Clippers and Lakers.
Lakers is Lakers. We got our own identity. We chasing something else. We not looking at the battle of LA. You know, we got bigger things in mind and bigger goals to accomplish. I think for us, at the end of the day, we want to be holding that trophy. And that's all that matters. We'll build our legacy and we'll build our Clipper Nation up along the way.
In Major League Baseball, Cubs lead the Giants 4-1 in the ninth inning. Earlier today, the Rays topped Boston 3-2, but Red Sox manager Alex Cora is protesting the game after questioning the way that the Rays handled their substitutions in the eighth inning. Couple of more football notes to pass along. Titans offensive lineman Taylor Lewan said today that he failed an offseason drug test and is facing a four-game suspension. No official word from the NFL. And in college football, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said that the conference is considering playing some league games at 12 Eastern time. That would be 9 o'clock Pacific time kickoffs. Back to you guys.
God, that'd be awesome. 6 a.m. Pac-12 football. The only problem with that is it's the Pac-12. That's the
Breakfast
only
with the Beavers is Oregon State is home to Cal.
There it is. Breakfast with Beavers. All right, coin it. We'll make copyright that, Dano. All right, it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in, we'll call it 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have a best bet, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Wednesday night. I'm Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. So, this is list season in sports talk radio. I put together a top five list of how you know it's summertime in sports radio. One of them was you hear a lot of fill-in hosts like me. The other one is you hear a lot of lists that are thrown out on radio. But when these lists comes out, it's not just a back and forth to do you agree or do you not agree. Sometimes things get a little bit heated, and they get heated because you go face-to-face. You go mano-a-mano. You go up against the great Steve Fezzik and a little something we call.
It's the pros versus the world.
All right, Fez, there's NFL lists out there. What are they and what's your disagreement?
So the lists are Pro Football Focus and The Athletic ranked the top NFL quarterbacks. Jonas, they both have Tom Brady as being overrated. They make Brady number one and number two. I have Brady number five. We talked about it on the show yesterday. Why? And I went ahead and found one supplemental piece of information. Brady's 42. And last year, a next generation stat, if you will. They've only been keeping it for 3 years. But Tom Brady, in terms of his completion yardage down the field, how far was the completion when the receiver caught the ball? Brady ranked 23rd in the league. He ranked 12th the year before. I think a clear red flag, more dinking and dunking, arm strength. Now that Brady is 42, most quarterbacks not named Brady fall off the cliff when they turn 40. Brady's overrated.
Yeah, hold on, because RG's not here, and I know the first thing he would say. Just to pull back the curtain a little bit, you've been calling, and I've known you now, Fez, 3+ years. You've been calling for Brady's decline ever since I've known you, and it's probably gone back even further than that. How long have you been calling Tom Brady to take a step back? Tom Brady's overrated.
For the past 6 years, and the past 2 years, I've been right, because his QBR has gone from second to third, and last year was sixth. He clearly is declining, just slower than I expected, and it took him longer to start declining than I thought.
Mm. And now he's jumping off cliffs with his daughter. And now, I mean, he's giving you the bird, the double barrel middle finger, Steve Fezzik, because you've been calling for his demise, and all he's got is how many Super Bowls has he won since Steve Fezzik said he was going on the decline?
At least two. Yeah, at least two, maybe three.
Jonas, I told you it was going to fall off the cliff, and you got video of it just last week.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Fair point from Steve Fezzik. Okay, so any other egregious miscalculations or errors on any of these lists that jump out to you, Fez?
Yes, another old guy, Drew Brees, is overrated. He's listed number two and number three. I have him number six, and frankly, Jonas, I think that all – what's happening is that this is like an award show, that everyone else is just looking at how good these quarterbacks were last year without any projections. Obviously, in the last month, Drew Brees, the statistics went way down. He had a bad final 4 weeks of the regular season. I don't think that was by accident talk that he had a shoulder injury, but I will say this. Peyton Manning was an elite quarterback at 38, huge decline at 39, out of the league at 40. Brett Favre, elite quarterback at 39, huge decline at 40, out of the league at 41. Drew Brees is going to be 40 this season. I'm going to project the same thing could well happen to him.
And I think it's one of the most under-talked about stories, because everybody talks about the Brady aspect, but if you were to ask me who showed their age more so late in the season, Brady or Brees, I thought it was Brees. I think Alvin Kamara is the linchpin of that entire offense. You watch Brees, he couldn't get the ball downfield the way he was able to do it earlier in the year. Balls late in games were flushed. stuttering. He's already had the shoulder issues. I mean, he could be, while everybody talks about, you know, once you go off the cliff, you really go off the cliff, and they point back to Peyton Manning. Brad, Drew Brees seems like the type, not that anybody wants to see it happen, but with his history of shoulder issues and how he's looked late in seasons, especially last year, that he could be one of these guys that really takes a nosedive late in his career.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Fez's assessment there. I don't think Drew Brees is a top five quarterback heading into this upcoming season. And contrary to popular belief, it wasn't the pass interference call that ultimately did in the Saints in the NFC Championship game last year. Interception by who? Drew Brees in overtime. Had a chance to still win that game, and obviously he gets hit on the play, but still, a Drew Brees interception is what ultimately doomed the Saints.
And guys, we talked about it after the game was over. Everybody can point back to that one play. If that one play, that no pass interference call, happened in the first quarter instead of the fourth, it's not even being brought up. The reason it is goes back to the first quarter when the Rams turned the ball over. New Orleans had a chance to step on their throats early in that game, and they couldn't generate enough points, and they kept the Rams in the game. And I'm sure, Steve Fezzik, you probably live bet the hell out of it and took advantage of the marketplace.
Well, I'll say this. We talk about the Super Bowl hangover, and I know the Saints didn't go to the Super Bowl last year, but if ever there's a team that has a Super Bowl-like hangover from the way they lost last year, blaming it on the refs and the like, I could see it being the Saints.
And it's 2 years in a row. Look at the Minnesota Miracle. It happened the year before, and then they lose a year after that. Like, you can only take, and look, us guys know this, you can only take so many direct shots in the groin before you got to take a seat. All right, you just got to sit down and gather yourself. They've taken two in a row. They need to sit down, grab some ice, gather themselves, and it may not be the season everybody wants in New Orleans. All right, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Now, Bill Belichick, he is also an older gentleman that Steve Fezzik has been picking on throughout the course of the show. That is the theme. Fez picks on old people here on Fox Sports Radio for a Wednesday here in July. But Bill Belichick won another Super Bowl. He's now got 8 total Super Bowls, 2 as an assistant with the Giants, 6 as head coach of the New England Patriots. You guys, though, found something regarding Bill Belichick. Go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, Belichick is an alien. He basically, age does not matter for him. So I went and did a study. RJ asked me to go ahead and do this. And I looked at the top coaches of all time. How do they do before they're age 60 versus after age 60? So went ahead and took a look at guys like Parcells, Landry, Gibbs, Shula. These guys do great in terms of their coaching record until age 60. They win about 64% of their games. And then age 60 is kind of like the cliff for head coaches. They become average coaches. At least their performance says they become average coaches. They only win 52%, so just a little over half after age 60. What did Belichick do? Well, he won 68% of his games.
Before 60.
Well, that's actually for his entire career, 68%. After age 60, 76.8%. So Belichick gets better like a great wine. The genius, let me tell you, Jonas, I've got concerns about Brady. I have no concerns about Belichick. And I could argue that the distance between the best coach in the league, Belichick, and number two, arguably Sean Payton, is larger than the distance between the number two coach and the number 10 coach.
Well, look, they always say adapt or die, and Belichick does it better than anybody. There were stories about him flying up to Eugene. Brad, you probably heard about this, and going to watch Chip Kelly practices because he wanted to see what the new thing was. What were teams doing at that level, in particular Chip Kelly? And so it's just somebody who doesn't have just a set style, and you need to meet him here, and you've got to do everything the way he does it. He's still trying to learn. He's still trying to gather information. There was about a 10-year period there where they didn't have any Super Bowls. And he recalibrated, he retooled, he got better, he figured it out, and the win percentage shows it.
Yeah, and he also brought back offensive line coach, who's, you're talking about age being the theme of the
Dante
show.
Dante Scarnecchia. Yeah.
And he's 70-plus.
Yeah.
And obviously Wade Phillips in the Super Bowl, getting up there 70-plus. Age shouldn't be, you shouldn't be discriminated against all these older guys, Fez, especially with you getting up at your advanced age.
Yeah, at age 55, I'm just barely holding on, right, Brad?
I mean, we've
You're
got.
Doing all right.
I mean, you want to rip Roger Federer while we're at it, Fez? You want to take a shot at any of the cast members from Cocoon? I mean, who else you want to pick on here? I mean, what else? What are we going to do here? This is ridiculous.
Well, clearly, in the 24th game point of the fifth set tiebreaker, Federer no longer had it.
right. Yeah, clearly showing signs of age. All right, it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell. Up next here on FSR, it is Best Bet Time, your chance to make a little bit of cash on a Wednesday. That's next here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in, we'll call it 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have a best bet, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Wednesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, in for RJ Bell, alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. So, this is list season in sports talk radio. I put together a top five list of how you know it's summertime in sports radio. One of them was you hear a lot of fill-in hosts like me. The other one is you hear a lot of lists that are thrown out on radio. But when these lists comes out, it's not just a back and forth to do you agree or do you not agree. Sometimes things get a little bit heated, and they get heated because you go face-to-face, you go mano-a-mano, you go up against the great Steve Fezzik and a little something we call...
It's the pros versus the world.
All right, Fez, there's NFL lists out there. What are they, and what's your disagreement?
So the lists are Pro Football Focus and The Athletic ranked the top NFL quarterbacks. Jonas, they both have Tom Brady as being overrated. They make Brady number one and number two. I have Brady number five. We talked about it on the show yesterday. Why? And I went ahead and found one supplemental piece of information. Brady's 42. And last year, a next generation stat, if you will. They've only been keeping it for 3 years. But Tom Brady, in terms of his completion yardage down the field, how far was the completion when the receiver caught the ball? Brady ranked 23rd in the league. He ranked 12th the year before. I think a clear red flag, more dinking and dunking, arm strength. Now that Brady is 42, most quarterbacks not named Brady fall off the cliff when they turn 40. Brady's overrated.
Yeah, hold on, because RG's not here, and I know the first thing you would say. Just to pull back the curtain a little bit, you've been calling, and I've known you now, Fez, 3+ years. You've been calling for Brady's decline ever since I've known you, and it's probably gone back even further than that. How long have you been calling Tom Brady to take a step back? Tom Brady's overrated.
For the past 6 years, and the past 2 years, I've been right, because his QBR has gone from second to third, and last year was sixth. He clearly is declining, just slower than I expected, and it took him longer to start declining than I thought.
Mm. And now he's jumping off cliffs with his daughter. And now, I mean, he's giving you the bird, the double barrel middle finger, Steve Fezzik, because you've been calling for his demise, and all he's got is how many Super Bowls has he won since Steve Fezzik said he was going on the decline?
At least two. Yeah, at least two, maybe three.
Jonas, I told you it was going to fall off the cliff, and you got video of it just last week.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Fair point from Steve Fezzik. Okay, so any other egregious miscalculations or errors on any of these lists that jump out to you, Fez?
Yes, another old guy, Drew Brees, is overrated. He's listed number two and number three. I have him number six, and frankly, Jonas, I think that all – what's happening is that this is like an award show, that everyone else is just looking at how good these quarterbacks were last year without any projections. Obviously, in the last month, Drew Brees, the statistics went way down. He had a bad final 4 weeks of the regular season. I don't think that was by accident talk that he had a shoulder injury, but I will say this. Peyton Manning was an elite quarterback at 38, huge decline at 39, out of the league at 40. Brett Favre, elite quarterback at 39, huge decline at 40, out of the league at 41. Drew Brees is going to be 40 this season. I'm going to project the same thing could well happen to him.
And I think it's one of the most under-talked about stories, because everybody talks about the Brady aspect. But if you were to ask me who showed their age more so late in the season, Brady or Brees, I thought it was Brees. I think Alvin Kamara is the linchpin of that entire offense. You watch Brees, he couldn't get the ball downfield the way he was able to do it earlier in the year. Balls late in games were flooded. stuttering. He's already had the shoulder issues. I mean, he could be, while everybody talks about, you know, once you go off the cliff, you really go off the cliff, and they point back to Peyton Manning. Brad, Drew Brees seems like the type, not that anybody wants to see it happen, but with his history of shoulder issues and how he's looked late in seasons, especially last year, that he could be one of these guys that really takes a nosedive late in his career.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Fez's assessment there. I don't think Drew Brees is a top five quarterback heading into this upcoming season. And contrary to popular belief, it wasn't the pass interference call that ultimately did in the Saints in the NFC Championship game last year. Interception by who? Drew Brees in overtime. Had a chance to still win that game. And obviously he gets hit on the play, but still a Drew Brees interception is what ultimately doomed the Saints.
And guys, we talked about it after the game was over. Everybody can point back to that one play. If that one play, that no pass interference call, happened in the first quarter instead of the fourth, it's not even being brought up. The reason it is goes back to the first quarter when the Rams turned the ball over. New Orleans had a chance to step on their throats early in that game, and they couldn't generate enough points, and they kept the Rams in the game. And I'm sure, Steve Fezzik, you probably live bet the hell out of it and took advantage of the marketplace.
Well, I'll say this. We talk about the Super Bowl hangover, and I know the Saints didn't go to the Super Bowl last year, but if ever there's a team that has a Super Bowl-like hangover from the way they lost last year, blaming it on the refs and the like, I could see it being the Saints.
And it's 2 years in a row. Look at the Minnesota Miracle. It happened the year before, and then they lose a year after that. Like, you can only take – and look, us guys know this. You can only take so many direct shots in the groin before you got to take a seat. All right? You just got to sit down and gather yourself. They've taken two in a row. They need to sit down, grab some ice, gather themselves, and it may not be the season everybody wants in New Orleans. All right, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Now, Bill Belichick, he is also an older gentleman that Steve Fezzik has been picking on throughout the course of the show. That is the theme. Fez picks on old people here on Fox Sports Radio for a Wednesday here in July. But Bill Belichick won another Super Bowl. He's now got 8 total Super Bowls, 2 as an assistant with the Giants, 6 as head coach of the New England Patriots. You guys, though, found something regarding Bill Belichick. Go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, Belichick is an alien. He basically, age does not matter for him. So I went and did a study. RJ asked me to go ahead and do this. And I looked at the top coaches of all time. How do they do before they're age 60 versus after age 60? So went ahead and took a look at guys like Parcells, Landry, Gibbs, Shula. These guys do great in terms of their coaching record until age 60. They win about 64% of their games. And then age 60 is kind of like the cliff for head coaches. They become average coaches, at least their performance says they become average coaches. They only win 52%, so just a little over half after age 60. What did Belichick do? Well, he won 68% of his games.
Before 60.
Well, that's actually for his entire career, 68%. After age 60, 76.8%. So Belichick gets better like a great wine. The genius, let me tell you, Jonas, I've got concerns about Brady. I have no concerns about Belichick. And I could argue that the distance between the best coach in the league, Belichick, and number two, arguably Sean Payton, is larger than the distance between the number two coach and the number 10 coach.
Well, look, they always say adapt or die, and Belichick does it better than anybody. There were stories about him flying up to Eugene. Brad, you probably heard about this, and going to watch Chip Kelly practices because he wanted to see what the new thing was. What were teams doing at that level, in particular Chip Kelly? And so it's just somebody who doesn't have just a set style, and you need to meet him here, and you've got to do everything the way he does it. He's still trying to learn. He's still trying to gather information. There was about a 10-year period there where they didn't have any Super Bowls. And he recalibrated, he retooled, he got better, he figured it out, and the win percentage shows it.
Yeah, and he also brought back offensive line coach, who's, you're talking about age being the theme of the
Dante
show.
Dante Scarnecchia.
Yeah. And he's 70-plus.
Yeah.
And obviously Wade Phillips in the Super Bowl, getting up there 70-plus. Age shouldn't be – you shouldn't be discriminated against all these older guys, Fez, especially with you getting up at your advanced age.
Yeah, at age 55, I'm just Barely holding on, right, Brad?
I mean, we've
You're doing all right.
You want to rip Roger Federer while we're at it, Fez? You want to take a shot at any of the cast members from Cocoon? I mean, who else you want to pick on here? I mean, what are we going to do here? This is ridiculous.
Well, clearly in the 24th game, point of the fifth set tiebreaker, Federer no longer had it.
Right, yeah. Clearly showing signs of age. All right, it is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell. Up next here on FSR, it is Best Bet Time, your chance to make a little bit of cash on a Wednesday. That's next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell. Coming up top of next hour, 7 p.m. Eastern time here, less than 15 minutes from now, it is the Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio. Make sure you stick around for those guys as they will take you all the way into the night here on FSR. Now, before we get to Best Bets, last night, some were calling it the game of the year. It was a wild one in Minnesota, and here's how it ended, this courtesy of the Yankees Radio Network.
Swung on and lined to left center. On the run is Hicks, and Hicks makes a diving catch to win the game. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
It took 10 innings, 14-12, the final in Minnesota. And with that, it brings us to our first best bet, and it is Steve Fezzik. Yankees and Twins go at it again. This on ESPN. First pitch coming up a little over 10 minutes from now. Fez?
Yes, Jonas, I'm going to lean over 11. And anyone who watched that game, and it was a tremendous game, saw how gassed the two bullpens were. 12 runs scored in the 8th, 9th, and 10th innings. And frankly, it would have been 15 if the Yankees don't make that catch. With both bullpens hurting, expect more of the same tonight. But Jonas, this is just a lean and call this old school. I see a baseball total at 11. I get it. The ball's juiced, but going over 11, that is just not a zip code I like to bet in. I will lean over.
Okay, so, and by the way, I stand corrected. It is first pitch on ESPN is 8 p.m. Eastern time, so you've got a little over an hour to bet the over, and Steve Fezzik, just a lean on the over of 11 runs between the Yanks and the Twins. Now, Fez, we'll keep it with you because we also have a best bet, but this time it's in the NFL. What do we got?
We're going to go Chicago Bears season win number. We're going to go under 9 wins for the Chicago Bears. The Bears had a great season last year, but they had a lot of things go their way to make it happen. The Bears played the easiest schedule in the NFL last year, and frankly, it was not even close. So much tougher schedule this year. And the Bears stayed healthy last year, and that was a big part of them having such a fine season. And they, frankly, were just lucky. They were plus 12 in turnover differential. Turnovers are largely random over the course of the season. With everything breaking right for the Bears last year, I expect regression. Best bet, Bears to go under 9 wins.
And so we bet the Cubs. I'm just jotting all this down, Fez, so just bear with me. So we bet the Cubs under, the Bears under, and he hates old people. Okay, just making sure. I'm just putting my bullet points together so that I know just to who you can't stand in this country. That's all. Just making sure.
And what, didn't you go to school in Chicago?
Yeah.
What's with this?
What's that about, Fez?
Anyone who lived in Chicago throughout the 80s and the heartbreak of what went on with Sandberg and the like knows where I'm coming from.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we will continue with our best bets here on Straight Out of Vegas, but we'll go to college football. He is the man. He is the best in the business, Brad Powers.
Yeah, we're going to go season win total here. We're going to go with Virginia. We're going to go over 7.5 wins for Virginia. Quietly, the head coach for Virginia, Bronco Mendenhall, coming over from BYU. He's building a power at Virginia, or at least a good program. 2 wins his first year, 6 wins, then 8 wins last year. And last year's team, quite frankly, could have won more. Virginia was 1-3 in games decided by 7 points or less. So a coin flip away from winning, a couple coin flips from winning 9-10 games a year ago. If you want to sound smart with your buddies around the water cooler this summer, I'm going to give you, in my opinion, the most underrated quarterback in the entire country. Bryce Perkins, quarterback, dual threat for Virginia. A guy that had 34 total touchdowns a year ago. vastly underrated. Top 20 defense for Virginia. And here's what I like most about Virginia over 7.5 wins. Schedule. Virginia's only going to be a clear underdog in two games this year. At Miami and at Notre Dame. And quite frankly, two great situational spots for Virginia in those games. They're off a bye when they play Miami, and they're catching Notre Dame off the big game against Georgia the week prior. Add it all up. I'm going over 7.5 wins for Virginia.
And Bronco Mendenhall, Brad, if I'm not mistaken, he was a guy that a lot of people were interested in hiring, but he just never wanted to leave BYU until it was Virginia that came along. Much like Peterson at Boise State, who was always up for these jobs, but it was until he actually took Washington that he finally decided to leave.
You're exactly right. And look, he never broke through and had that, you know, 12-0 type of regular season, was a consistent 9-10 win a season type of coach. But, I mean, you look at BYU post-Bronco Mendenhall,
yeah.
Now they struggle to win 6 or 7 games, so clearly one of the more underrated coaches in the country.
And now, before we say goodbye here on Straight Outta Vegas, it is time to also bring up yet another disagreement here on the show. Look, it's not that we're intentionally trying to disagree with certain people, but when somebody speaks on something, they need to be held accountable. Brad Powers, you were all hot and bothered. You were really hot and bothered by a list that came out courtesy of USA Today. What got you so pissed off?
Yeah, so Nate Davis, and I don't like to call out names, but I'm going to call out Nate Davis from USA Today. Hey, look, you're a national writer. He came out with his updated NFL rankings. These are team rankings. And I'm actually going to go to the – I mean, come on, the Chargers second, the Eagles third. I mean, maybe. The Browns over the Rams. Come on. But actually, my most egregious is down at the bottom of his list, where he has the Arizona Cardinals over the Detroit Lions. Nate Davis, be better. I mean, week one, these two teams play. Detroit's at Arizona, and Detroit is a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Arizona. Vegas obviously disagrees with Nate Davis, and Brad Powers certainly disagrees with Nate Davis. With gambling becoming nationwide here, I mean, you got to be accountable for some of these sold quote-unquote hot takes. This is a hot take. I hope Nate Davis has some big-time money on the Cardinals plus 2.5 against the Lions. I'm doubting he does, Fez.
The Nate Davis watch has begun at the local sports books. The Mirage is waiting for him to show up with the suitcase full of cash. One cautionary tale, a headline I have not seen in the newspapers, is sports columnist quits job to move to Vegas to successfully bet sports.
Oh, unbelievable. A tag team on Nate Davis here, for God's sakes. You guys are like the Steiner brothers back in the 80s. What the hell's going on here? the new Legion of Doom, Brad Powers,
yeah,
and Steve Fezzik. Unbelievable. Like Nate Davis on the shoulders, and then one guy's getting a shoulder block off the top rope. Incredible stuff. But a big disagreement when it comes to the Detroit Lions and the Arizona Cardinals. All right, fun stuff, guys. This is Straight Outta Vegas. For Brad Powers, for Steve Fezzik, for Daryl, Sleepy, Ryan, Dan Beyer, for everybody who took part in the show, we appreciate a few minutes of your time. I'm Jonas Knox. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.